Again, offering obeisances unto all you Brahmanas, I pray that if I should take my birth in the material world again, I will have complete attachment to the unlimited Lord Krishna, association with his devotees, and friendly relations with all living beings.
Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. That a devotee of the Lord is the only perfect living being is explained herein by Maharaj Parikshit. A devotee of the Lord is no one's enemy, although there may be many enemies of a devotee. A devotee of the Lord does not like to associate with non-devotees, although he has no enmity with them. He desires association with the devotees of the Lord. This is perfectly natural because birds of the same feather mix together. And the most important function of a devotee is to have complete attachment for Lord Sri Krishna, the Father of all living beings. As a good son of the Father behaves in a friendly way with all his other brothers, so also the devotee of the Lord, being a good son of the Supreme Father, Lord Krishna, sees all other living beings in relation with the Supreme Father. He tries to bring back the upstart sons of the Father to a saner stage and to get them to accept the Supreme Father of God. Maharaj Parikshit was certainly going back to Godhead, but even if he were not to go back, he prayed for a pattern of life which is the most perfect way in the material world. A pure devotee does not desire the company of a personality as great as Brahma, but he prefers the association of a petty living being, provided he is a devotee of the Lord.
Punascha bhuyad bhagavatyanante rati prasangash cha tat ashrayeshu mahatsuyam yam upayami shrishtim maitriyastu sarvatra namo dvijebhyaha. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also prays, Gita Janmahau, even if I take my next birth in the material world as a Gita insect, that's okay, as long as I can be in the home of a devotee. So, association with devotees is the important point here, whether one goes back to the spiritual world or whether one stays in the material world. If he can have association with the devotees, then everything's all right. This is also discussed between Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Ramananda Roy. Ramananda Roy was being questioned by Lord Chaitanya, what is the most painful thing? And he said the most painful thing is to not have the association of devotees. So, Rupa Goswami also explains that better to live in a cage with a tiger than to live with non-devotees. So, the Kanishtha Adhikaris can't understand this. They cannot make any distinctions. They say, well, I don't see the difference. Well, it doesn't matter who you live with. Everybody's okay. But the second stage devotees, the Madhyama Adhikaris, they know how to make the distinction. There are four distinctions. They know how to distinguish between God and the living entities, first of all. That's the first distinction. Sometimes the Kanishtha Adhikaris may also become confused about that and think that we're all one. So, the Lord is different. It's not that God is soul and we're also soul, therefore we're the same. There's a difference that the Brahman, the individual living entity, is small, and the Parabrahman is great, Supreme Lord. That's the first distinction. The second distinction is to distinguish between devotees and those who are not devotees. Prema Maitri Kripo Peksha Tad Adineshu Tat Ishvara Adineshu, then those who are Adineshu means Tad Adineshu, the devotees of the Lord. So he makes friends with them, Maitri. But of course, a devotee like Maharaj Parikshit, first class devotee, he sees all living entities as friends. The first class devotee doesn't have to distinguish. He sees everyone as a great devotee of the Lord. But the second class devotee has to make distinctions. And the next group is the Bali Sheshu. They're the innocent. They're not devotees, but they're not demons either. They're just innocent. It's like children. Children, you can't say he's a demon. But he may not be a devotee. He may be untrained. So he needs kripa. He needs mercy. If you train him, give them education, then they become devotees. And upeksha for the balisheshu dvisatsu means the envious. They're envious of Krishna. They can't stand. It's like a lot of our scientists fall in this category because they say from the very beginning, let's not entertain the idea that there could be a designer or God. Why? How can you eliminate from even the possibility of discussion? So this shows that they're very envious. Or the impersonalists also sometimes are very envious. They don't want to accept that God has form. Because his form is so beautiful, they become disgusted when they think he's so beautiful, he's so powerful. And look at me, I don't have all those qualities. So let's just annihilate the concept of God being a person. This is enviousness. They should be avoided. Mayavadi Pasha Shunili Hoya Sarvanash. Lord Chaitanya condemned the Mayavad philosophy so much, he said if anyone listens to it, they become doomed. Their spiritual life is finished. So, the devotee, he doesn't mind whether he goes back to home, back to Godhead, or he stays in the material world. This is also explained in that discussion about the sage who gave benedictions, four different benedictions. You know that? He gave a benediction to the prince. He said, better live a long life, Chiranjiva. Rajaputra Chiranjiva. You're the prince, you should live a long time because when you die, then you're going to hell, but so you might as well enjoy yourself while you can. And the Muniputra, the brahmachari, said, better you die quickly, don't live, because if you die now, you can go back to Godhead, and you don't have to go through so much trouble. And the butcher, he said, Vyadi, don't live, don't die. Ma jivo ma maro. Don't live, don't die. Because living you're in hell, and when you die you'll also go to hell. So it's hellish either way. And for the devotee, sadhu, you can either live or die as you wish. Because both ways are blissful. It's like now we see living in this world. Although everyone's suffering a lot, but the devotees aren't suffering at all. The devotees don't have anything to suffer. What is there to suffer? They're getting to see the Lord every day. They're dancing in ecstasy. They're getting prasadam of the Lord. They've got wonderful engagement. They don't have to worry about old age, disease, and death because they know they're not the body. They're relieved of so many anxieties. But if it's time to go back to Godhead, if a nuclear bomb comes, then it means Krishna is coming to give me a special quick ride back to home, back to Godhead. So either way is okay with them. They don't mind. And that's the point that Parikshit's making. Out of humility, he's saying, I may not go back to Godhead, but at least I beg the blessing of the benediction that I may associate with devotees. Microphone. Says here that he's praying to let me have nice, friendly relations with all living entities. This is also stated in the Vedas.
We're talking about persons who are envious and how the Madhyamadikari avoids such persons. Sometimes we see some persons who say they're Christians and they become disturbed when you consider that anyone else could be a pure representative of God except Jesus Christ, and that they say that he says he's the only way. And also we see also that even with our, you know, those who have been initiated by Prabhupada, also there are persons who say Prabhupada is the only way, and they condemn those who are initiating on his behalf, continuing the parampara. How we should deal with these are, I know certain prakriti described as prakriti bhaktas, material devotees, so to help advance.
It's also illogical, because on one hand they say that Jesus is the only savior, and he's the. But what about if someone says the same thing as Jesus? What about if someone, like for example themselves, if Jesus is the only savior, then why are they going out on the street and trying to preach to someone? They shouldn't do that. According to their philosophy, they shouldn't do that because Jesus is the only one that's pure enough to preach. So what they're doing is they're trying to link people with Jesus. And that's exactly what the devotees are doing on behalf of Srila Prabhupada. They're linking people with the disciplic succession. They're giving them the same teachings. Now, if they make up their own philosophy or change the teaching, then they become disqualified. But they're not disqualified if they present the same thing. For example, you gave the idea that some of Prabhupada's disciples now are initiating. Well, yes, because that's the system for linking them with the disciplic succession. So if they didn't do that, then they would be disregarding Prabhupada's instruction. So many say, Prabhupada, Prabhupada, but what about Prabhupada's instructions? So Prabhupada said that you have to become guru. All the disciples have to become guru. And he quoted that verse, Jare dake tare kaha Krishna upadesh, amara gyai guru hane tare desh. So, but one has to be qualified to become guru. And what is the qualification? Follow the four principles and chant 16 rounds. It's not such a difficult qualification to be guru, but they can't even do that. So then, sour grapes philosophy, the fox was jumping, trying to get the grapes, but he couldn't reach them. He says, they're sour. So if I can't become guru, no one should become guru. This is kind of sour grapes philosophy. But no, the idea is that the spiritual master's pleasure is that his disciples become gurus. In fact, that's the system. The disciple, if he's following carefully, then he becomes the next guru. This has been going on since time immemorial, from the beginning. From the time that Krishna instructed Brahma, then Brahma became guru. Why didn't he just say, oh, Krishna's still present, why don't you accept him as guru? Even now Brahma is present, Krishna is present. It's not that Krishna has changed his body. His body is, he didn't die, nor did Brahma die. Brahma has another 155 trillion years to live, so he's contemporary. So the idea that we shouldn't become guru, no. Prithiviti achiyata nagaradi gram sarvatta pochoy hoibe morana. The message of Lord Chaitanya, the message of Krishna, has to be spread to every town and village. And for that purpose, there needs to be gurus. And these gurus, sometimes they initiate, sometimes they instruct. This is their business. So, now, they're sad because they've seen some gurus fall down. And naturally so. We're all sad about that. But that doesn't mean that we can change the process. It means that we have to come up to the standard of not falling down. There's that verse, Mamcha Yogya Vicharina Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sagunan Samadityaitan Brahmapu Yaya Kalpite. One who's situated on the transcendental platform and does not fall down, engaged in devotional service and does not fall down, comes to the level of Brahma. So this falling down is the problem. It's not the system. The system is perfect. It was given by Krishna. It was recommended by Lord Chaitanya. It's the system. The problem is, we're falling down. Why are we falling down? Because we associate with non-devotees. That's the problem. We like to associate with non-devotees. And then, of course, we fall down because then we begin imitating their activities. So that's the problem. We don't want to follow the instruction. Asat sanga tyaga evaishnava achar. We like to live like them, we like to dress like them, we like to look like them, we like to talk like them, eat like them, so then we become them. And the same thing that happens when someone becomes attracted to Krishna, he comes and associates with devotees. He starts to speak like them, he says, Hari Bol, says Hari Krishna, take prasada, doesn't eat nor ordinary food anymore. He starts dressing like devotee, wearing tilak. So it's the same thing, birds of a feather flock together. We have to give up this attraction to associating with non-devotees. Then we won't fall down. The process we have is very nice. Chanting Hare Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving Krishna. We're also engaged in activities. They have their occupations, materialists, and we have our occupation. Our occupation is Krishna karma. Their activity is Ugra karma. Ugra karma and Krishna karma. We also have our activities. It's not that we don't have anything to do. We don't have to fall down. But if we like to associate with the karmis, we want to go see the movies, we want to hear their music, then we'll fall down. Inevitably. But if we hear our music, Krishna music, and we associate with the devotees, just like I was this morning, we were just reading in the Garga-samhita. So Krishna appeared. When Krishna appeared, Nanda Maharaj, all the residents of Vrindavan, they all came there for a massive festival. Everyone brought preparations. They decorated everything. Even the cows were decorated with turmeric. Their tails were yellow, and they had these handprints, and then they had kumkum, that means saffron, is kumkum, and different oxides, different colors. They decorated all the cows, and they decorated the cows with bracelets, gold necklaces, plating the gold. So, what a wonderful activity, instead of going to a nonsense football game or a race car track. In other words, we're replacing Krishna-related activities with all these nonsense. What is the value? Someone throws a ball, kicks the ball around, and we think this is worthy of going and paying money and cheering and eating meat, drinking alcohol. It's a corrupt civilization. It's a perverted civilization. So we have to change that. We have to give up that association. Take the association of devotees and the association of Krishna.
How can a non-devotee get the taste with the association with the devotees?
He just has to come in their association. That's all. That's the only thing he has to do, is just get the association of devotees. Therefore, in the Atmarama's verse, Atmaramas Chamunayo Nigranta Apyurukrame Kurvantya Tukim Bhaktim Utam Bhuta Gunahari. There's many different types of persons who can become devotees, but they all require that association of devotees. Without association of devotees, who can be a devotee?
So, keeping in mind what you just said and then what you were speaking about, the devotees avoiding the association of non-devotees, how will the non-devotees become devotees unless those who are already devotees go out and associate with the non-devotees?
No, but they go out to bring them back. They don't go out to stay there. They don't go out and live like them. They go out and they bring them back. That's the point. Bringing them back. Then they're coming to our association. It's like they may invite, would you like something to eat? We say, well, no thank you, I ate. But would you like something to eat? And we try to bring them and take our food. If they eat our food, Krishna prasadam, then they become purified. And if we eat their food, then we become condemned. So it's a tug of war. They're trying to get the devotees to come back and be like them, and we're trying to get the non-devotees to come. So who's going to win the tug of war? It's like there was a tug of war between the asuras and the suras. Huh? They were churning the ocean of milk. They were, of course, that was a cooperative venture, but even in that, the asuras, they always do the wrong things. And they were trying to cheat. Actually, their idea was that we'll cooperate in churning the ocean of milk. Then the nectar will come. We'll steal the nectar and the demigods will get none. That was their idea. And actually, that was also the idea of the demigods. Because when Mohini Murti came, she gave it all to the demigods. She didn't give any to the demons. So there's this battle is always going on. Who's going to get the nectar of immortality? So you have to choose your side. It's like George Harrison, he said, I realized I had to make a choice. Do I want to be with these people, the Hare Krishnas, or these people, the non-devotees? He said, I prefer to be with the devotees. So that's the choice we have to make. Everybody has to make that choice. You can't stay, I'll be intimately associated with both. Even in the Bible it says, you can't serve mammon and God at the same time. You have to choose who you want to be friends with. Who are your real friends? Are the non-devotees your friends? They say, come on, let's go get a drink. Come on, let's have some intoxication. They want to talk about illicit sex. Is that type of your friend? One of our godbrothers wrote a song. He said, my buddies, they say, I should have waited. They say that I'm missing out on a whole world of fun. But what kind of friend would want you to fall? So what type of friend wants to bring you and take you to hell? Is that a friend? No. So we have to have understanding, knowledge. We may say, well, I don't like to associate with devotees because it's not exciting enough. The non-devotees have so many more colorful activities. But those colorful activities are blood red colored. They're bloody activities. Bloody abortions, bloody activities. Anyway, bloody food, everything bloody. They go to movies, bloody movies, always watching. So that's very colorful, but colorfully destructive. So better to associate with the devotees and live a peaceful life. If you want colorful activities, then just think about Krishna. He's doing so many wonderful things. You may say, yes, but you're just passively watching Krishna do all the wonderful things. I'm actually going out and doing it. I'm going out, I'm winning contests, winning tournaments, I'm becoming the hero, I'm getting all sorts of money. You just sit by passively and watch Krishna get the Shyamajaka jewel, but you do nothing. You just, cook your chapatis and eat your chapati. That's all you do. So they criticize like that. You have no excitement. Why don't you do something heroic, like Krishna, like me? I go out and do wonderful. I won the race. I drove the race car. I won the beautiful. There was a beautiful woman, and I defeated all the opposition, and I got her for myself
and I'm enjoying. I'm like Krishna, and you're just like dull snails, dales, snails. Yes, that's a good point. Actually, Parameshwar called yesterday. Not only was he distributing books, but he found one student who wants to come here tomorrow to spend the weekend and learn about Krishna consciousness. So yes, this is the real dynamic activity, going out and trying to attract the non-devotees back to the lotus feet of Krishna. That's the real excitement. That's why the Sankirtan movement is so dynamic. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, you can enjoy life with a thrill at every moment in Krishna consciousness. No dull seconds, no dull moment. If we're thinking dull, that means we're in ignorance. But if we get out of ignorance, then there's unlimited happiness.
When we're doing our thing, you know, in a festival, and we're showing the public what it is, actually, I remember the first L.A. Rath Yatra. There were like 250,000 people there on Venice Beach. And we had all the displays. And constantly I was hearing, boy, I don't know what's going on, but this is great. You ought to do this every weekend. You know, this is wonderful. You know, they were just... And I saw the play of The Age of Kali on the stage. And there were 30,000 people sitting. And I was looking at the crowd sitting, and they were entranced, and I saw one person smoking, maybe one person with a beer can. That's it. I didn't see anybody doing any sin. They forgot about their sinful activities while they were there. And it was an amazing experience. So, anyway.
Yes, it's a fact. So therefore, our movement is meant for having one festival after the next and inviting everyone to participate in the festivals. Just like we had our wonderful festivals, Janmashtami, and now we had Govardhan Puja. Very nice festival. Everyone enjoyed. The only thing that's missing is that more non-devotees need to be invited. So that's our next phase is we need to become expert in inviting them and spreading the word so that more people can come. Thank you very much, Srimad Bhagavatam.
Ki jai.
Hari Bol.
Watching this play, and I would watch all the time during the whole festival. I didn't see anybody smoke.